I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Harris Show or on my website, harrisonline.com. Happy now to bring Leonard Maltin into the show. Leonard, the longtime movie reviewer, was there at the beginning of Entertainment Tonight. Now does a show that I always have my DVR set for on the Reels channel called Maltin on Movies. Also teaches at the USC School of Cinematic Arts and has a new version of his movie guide, the Leonard Maltin 2013 movie guide, subtitled The Modern Era. It's available now in paperback and in a Kindle edition and soon, I understand, in an iPhone app. Hi, Leonard. How are you?
Hey there. Nice to talk to you, Paul. It's already an iPhone app.
Oh, it is?
Oh, it has been for a while. They just haven't updated for the new edition yet.
Oh, that's what I meant. You're going to have this 2013
guide. If you already have the app or you're curious about the app, wait just maybe a month or so, and then you'll be able to get it that way.
Okay. Now, what does that subtitle, The Modern Era, mean? Are you leaving out some movies for the first time?
No, we've been having to prune movies for a long time. You know, the book is 1,600 pages long. 1,640 pages, if you want to be precise. So it's a big, bulging paperback and has been for a long time. And several years ago, my publisher said, we can't glue it any thicker. And hope to have it still hold together as people use it. So that's when we had to start pruning films out of the book. But then we figured out a partial solution. We've started a spinoff book called Leonard Maltin's Classic Movie Guide. And so if you're the kind of person who is addicted to Turner Classic Movies, as I am, or you have a parent or grandparent or friend who's into old movies big time, they really want the classic movie guide. What we've taken out of this book is what are older films that I would not call classics. You know, not every old movie is a classic. It's just sometimes old.
Yeah, I have to tell my wife this. Black and white doesn't mean great.
No. No, but although it doesn't hurt.
Right.
I should have a bumper sticker that says I break for black and white. But anyway, you know, Frankenweenie, Tim Burton's new film, is in black and white. And Alexander Payne is shooting a new movie, The Man Who Made The Descendants, last year and won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, or Best Adapted Screenplay. He's making his next movie in black and white. Some people actually like black and white.
Well, Schindler's List was in black and white. Woody Allen's Manhattan was in black and
white.
That's
right. It's not a curse. In any case, so we have two books now, and the reason we put The Modern Era on the new book is that I get occasional emails from people who are discovering the book for the first time and say, I looked up this Stuart Granger movie from 1954, and it's not in your book. You call yourself a movie guide? You know, so I understand their frustration, but we've now sort of split into two books. My feeling, though, is that in our annual 1,600-page guide, you should always be able to look up The Wizard of Oz, or It's a Wonderful Life, or Ben-Hur, or A Night at the Opera, and mm-hmm. you always will.
Before we talk about movie-related issues, I wonder if you would share...
Movie-related issues?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would
I'm just being a wise guy.
I wonder if you would share a TV story with my audience. A few weeks ago, when the late, great Phyllis Diller died, mm-hmm. You posted something to your blog about appearing with her on the TV game show Password Plus. Can you tell a little bit of that story here?
I can tell you the whole story because it's short. When I got on Entertainment Tonight in the early 80s and suddenly found myself a TV person for the first time in my life, having been a writer before that, you know, who lives in a closet and sits at a at a keyboard all day, I said to my now agent, I said, do you think I could get on one of those game shows? And they said, well, we'll ask. And so I did a couple of game shows because it was just fun to do. I was on the $10,000 Pyramid, and I was on Password Plus, the latest incarnation of Password. And so I was one of the so-called celebrity guests. And the other celebrity guest was a real celebrity, Phyllis Diller,
mm-hmm. And
who's a very nice woman. She was just the loveliest woman. And when you do those shows, you tape a whole week's worth in one day. So you bring your wardrobe for a whole week. And on either the second or third day's worth of taping, Phyllis noticed that I had a different lapel pin on my jacket every day. And she asked me about it. I said, well, I collect lapel pins. I love movies and I love old cartoons, and I'm always looking for interesting lapel pins. She said, oh, that's interesting. Well, for the next something like 15 years, a month didn't go by that I didn't receive a lapel pin in the mail from Phyllis with a note, little note saying, "Love, Phyllis," from her travels. And being in show business, she traveled all the time, went to different events, went to different cities, different countries, and she'd send me back lapel pins. I just thought that was the sweetest, most generous gesture for someone that I'd met exactly one day.
Yeah. I love that story.
Well, it tells you something of the kind of person she was.
Yeah. Yeah. You also, in your column about that, recommended a documentary that was made about her, which I saw, I guess it was 7-8 years ago, called Good Night, We Love You.
Wonderful film.
It's essentially about her doing what may have been one of her last live stage appearances, right?
I think what it was built up as her final performance, which is not to say the last time she appeared in public, but the last time she came out and did her act.
Yeah.
And it was in Laughlin, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And this filmmaker got her permission to sort of track her for that day and evening and show her preparing for the show, doing her sound check, getting ready to do her show, and then doing her show. But then he expanded that to be really a biography of Phyllis and talked to her about her life and career and various family members and colleagues. And it's a really charming film.
One of the people honored on the Walk of Fame here in St. Louis, Phyllis Diller.
Well, I'm glad. That's good.
Now, let's talk about bigger movie issues.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before you came on here about who goes to movies anymore. In an era of not only DVDs, but streaming and on-demand and downloadable movies, is the movie theater industry in trouble?
Well, they're in trouble because fewer people are going. But there are exceptions to that rule. Now, for instance, yes, everybody's downloading and watching on iPhones and streaming and buying Blu-ray discs and doing all of that sort of stuff. But don't tell that to the people who are lining up for the next Twilight movie.
Mm.
No one seems to care that it'll be out on DVD in 3 months when the movie like that opens. So there are still event movies. Of course, The Dark Knight Returns was an event movie until and it was clouded by that awful tragedy in Colorado. But nevertheless, a huge number of people turned up that weekend to see it. As a huge number of people are eagerly awaiting the next installment of The Hunger Games. There are always movies that become events that will attract people who don't care that they can see it in some other medium later. They want to see it now. The other movie audience is that I fall into, I guess, and perhaps you do too, Paul, is the kind of person who's interested in offbeat movies, independently made movies, documentaries, foreign language films.
Yep.
And we haven't disappeared. We're still out there. And the challenge is letting us know those films exist and stoking the fires and getting us interested enough to get off our butts and go out and see them in a theater.
Well, you know, when it comes to those kind of movies, I quite often will hear about a movie, something you talk about on your Reels Channel show or something else that I see is coming out in a few months, and I'll automatically go to my Netflix queue and I'll add it there because I'm much more likely to end up watching that movie when it comes out on DVD or is available on demand or streaming than I am to go see it. I save movie theater attendance. My wife and I don't go to movie theaters unless it is for one of those movies like The Dark Knight Rises that, to me, has to be a large screen experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're alone in that.
No, I know we're not alone in this. Absolutely, positively.
So are we helping those smaller movies that may not have been getting enough attendance at the movie theaters by helping out with this kind of secondary and tertiary market?
Well, it doesn't hurt because eventually that accrues to the benefit of the filmmaker and the distributor. But of course, you know, as long as they're in theaters, they of course would love to have you come out to a theater to see it. Now, I mean, there are two documentaries that are playing right now. I don't know if they're in St. Louis or in the St. Louis area right this minute. One is called Searching for Sugar Man, a really, really well-made and fascinating story about a guy who made exactly two albums in Detroit back in the early 70s when Detroit was still Motown. And this guy, this very individual singer-songwriter, came along named Rodriguez and made these two albums. And everyone who worked with him or heard him was mesmerized by him. But the albums didn't sell. They didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they did go somewhere in South Africa. In South Africa, he became like a folk hero. His songs were embraced and sung, and he was lionized there, although no one could find out anything about him. And I won't tell you more, but that's the intriguing story that's traced in that film.
It's called
Searching for Sugar Man.
Okay.
And then I just watched one the other day called Beauty is Embarrassing, which is quite wonderful, actually very funny and delightful. You don't see a lot of funny documentaries. But this is a profile of an artist named Wayne White, who some years ago won 3 Emmy Awards for designing Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you an idea of where his head is at. And then reinvented himself as a fine artist who uses humor in his canvases, or on his canvases. And this is a wonderfully entertaining a documentary. So, you know, there's still, you know, good films coming out. Sometimes you have to seek them out or search them out. And if you can't see them at your local theater, which is always the best way to see them, then, yeah, the second best is to put it on your Netflix queue or download or stream it through whatever legal means you can find.
You know, it's interesting listening to you talking with some passion about those movies. I'm happy to hear that you still are pleasantly surprised by going to the movies, because I would think that after doing it for several decades, there are days when you wake up and you know you have to go to a screening of one movie or another, and you dread it. And even after you're done with it, you think, oh, what am I going to say about this that won't involve the word suck?
Well, that's how I feel when I see a new Transformers movie, but it's not the way I feel when I go to see a little movie I know nothing about and get a wonderful experience out of it.
Yeah.
That's when I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And I try not to read about them ahead of time, Paul. That's another thing. Is if I can avoid seeing the trailers, I do. And I try to go in with a clean slate. And that enables surprises to happen.
When you and I talked a few years ago, you told me that you don't go see all the movies anymore because you've got a staff of people who contribute to LeonardMaltin.com and others who help you write reviews for the Movie Guide and other things. I'm curious, though, have you ever gone to a screening and walked out of it? I told Trish a story a little while ago about my hosting a screening here in St. Louis in 1999 for the Ralph Fiennes Julianne Moore movie, The End of an Affair.
Mm-hmm.
And at the 35-minute mark, I couldn't take it anymore, and I kind of snuck out the back door. Have you ever done that?
No.
Have you ever been tempted?
Oh, yeah, lots. Oh, boy, often. Sorry to say. But I first off, I feel if I've made the effort to come and see it, then I'm going to want to review it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to review it, I've got to be there to the very end, mm-hmm. even the bitter end.
Maybe they'll pull this thing out. That's what you're hoping?
Well, no, I don't think that anymore. When I was young and more optimistic or perhaps more foolish, I tried to tell myself that I'm going to sit through it because maybe it'll get better. You know what? It never gets better. But I do feel I have to be there till the end.
All right, so here we are in the middle of September. The summer blockbuster tentpole movie season is over. We're into the time of the year where we get more serious movies over the course of the next couple of months, and then, of course, into award bait season. What do you know is coming out that you're kind of really looking forward to see?
Well, I can tout one film that I saw over Labor Day weekend. I was at the Telluride Film Festival in Colorado, which is a wonderful event where you sometimes get a sneak peek of some of the top fall movies, and I did see one of those, which is Ben Affleck's new film, Argo, A-R-G-O,
mm-hmm.
and which is a thriller with humor based on a real-life situation involving the American hostages who were held in Iran in 1979-80.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an absolutely gripping, fascinating, and sometimes absurdly funny story.
And Affleck doesn't just star in it, he directs it.
Oh, yeah, he directed the film. and did a great job.
I was very impressed by the first two movies he made.
I like everything he's done. I like Gone Baby Gone, in which his brother starred,
mm-hmm.
and good crime thriller with a great sense of Boston, his hometown.
The Town.
And then The Town, a terrific movie, also making wonderful use of Boston.
Yeah. Does this one take place in Boston? No, it takes place in Iran.
That's right, it does.
Yeah.
A little bit in Washington and mostly, and a little bit in Hollywood, which is part of the story, and mostly in Iran.
It's called Argo, A-R-G-O.
Argo, wonderful movie. Great parts, supporting roles for Alan Arkin and John Goodman, and a very talented cast.
All right, well, a terrific recommendation, which I'm sure will show up in the 2014 edition.
Well, that's true.
Let me get the plug in here for Leonard Maltin's 2013 movie guide, The Modern Era. It's available in paperback. It's available in a Kindle edition. They will add the data from this book to the currently existing iPhone app in a few weeks, but you can download the app now and get the previous movies that are all in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that Kindle edition is really happening. I don't want to mislead people.
Oh,
I have
really?
Not seen evidence of it myself.
Okay. All right.
Right now, though people don't believe me, we are still being published as a book. It's available in two sizes of paperback, but it's still a book with a cover and a back cover and a lot of pages in between.
Well, I've got a link to it right now in the book form on my website, harrisonline.com. You can also get Leonard on his website, leonardmaltin.com, and watch his Maltin on Movies show. It's a half-hour preview of what's new in the movies and some great older stuff that's available in all sorts of formats. That's on Reels channel. And it's always a pleasure having you on, Leonard. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Leonard Maltin here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.